forever.
Lime, duh.
Yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello.
See, the thing is this.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
I'm a thick.
Yeah. CREA team. AKA the Modern Day Goof and Spoof, Raja. Coming at you like Cleopatra. Baby. Gabba wee.
Gabba wee.
This girl, she's mine. And hop. She's fine. What up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, muy, chef's kiss, caliente, wrestling reactions. Woo! We did it. We are here. We are back. Before we get into all the spicy wrestling action, a lot to talk about. We got a new WWE champion since the last main pod, but we did talk about that on the bonus pod that came out on Monday. Check it out. Post-chamber episode with Skylar Aston, Pitch Mr. Perfect. But before we do, this podcast is brought to you by our Patreon, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. We are in the midst of our 20 patron push. We are, I think, two patrons away to having new Cal art, to having the sticker mailed out to all patrons that corresponds to our new art. And the return of the Cal Movie Club episodes where we're going to watch 10 episodes with of movies with pro wrestlers in them and dissect them to an unhealthy degree. It's a great time. Listen to Cal Movie Club is available, the full archives of that on our Patreon. Also, if you're a patron, you get access to tons of more bonus content every Friday morning. I watch AEW NXT. We talk about the Wednesday Night Wars, a lot to talk about considering there's something very large, something big going on those shows that we will be talking about on Friday morning. And so patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Support your local podcasts. Anyway, a lot to talk about today. Let's just jump right into it. He's here. This guy who no-sells a question like it's his business. He's a nasty, nasty boy, a nasty Newman.
How about it, Dan?
How about it, Newman? Wow, you pronounced that H so hard that it popped your microphone. And he's here. He's here, and we can't do anything about it. The official Cal heavyweight champion, Mr. Jason Shapiro.
Sierra Hotel, Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar, Shapiro.
Actually, you sent me your new updated music. Here it is.
Sierra Hotel, Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar, Shapiro.
Oh, my. Wow, that is the most laid-back entrance music I've ever heard. Straight from Waikiki, Hawaii, Mr. Jason Shapiro, the double intro there. Beautiful music, you know, I guess.
Mahalo, bro.
Now, again, I don't know. What does mahalo mean again?
If you have to ask, you don't understand, bro.
Okay. I think it means thank you, right?
Oh, so you do know what it means. Yeah, it means thank you.
Yeah, but you're using it like an Israeli says shalom, like kind of as a multi-purpose word.
I'll tell you what's going on out here. Yeah. Out here on the beach. Now I'm the beach whisperer, and I keep my ears to the beaches and the streets. Aloha is kind of the shalom of Hawaii. Aloha is hello, it's farewell, right. It's whatever you need it to be. That's what everyone's doing out here. I had to go somewhere else with it. I took a different word mahalo. I made that my aloha, which is my original shalom. It's my shalomha. And I'll tell you what else. It's things are good for me out here, man. I'm the cow champ. The living is easy. You know, I'm just filled with gratitude. I'm filled with thanks. So
I didn't ask.
Like to,
we didn't
no,
ask.
No. But that's you did ask. You did ask.
Okay.
You said, what does mahalo mean to me, bro? And I'm telling you, it's because I'm so grateful my station in life right now. You know, being a champion, being on a beautiful paradise.
Let me ask you something. Are your chest hair all gray now?
Not all of them, but enough of them are.
I mean, bro, what are you, 85 years old? Full gray chest mane?
I actually bleach them. I make them gray because I'm trying to look more distinguished out here.
All right. Anyway, before we kick it off, I'm just gonna hit. I'm gonna hit two hits of the Flonase. Donnie Flonase. Ooh, man, I'm the allergy free for you guys for this rest of this episode. Forgot to do it this morning and I couldn't breathe out of my nose. So I did it now. That's it. This is what it is. Anyway, whew. All right. So we talked. We really, really, really are on the road to WrestleMania here. It's starting to be interesting because Mania is shaping up, but not really yet. Like, we know some stuff that's going to happen, but it's odd. This Miz thing is such a curveball from what I thought Mania was going to be. So anyway, I think we should start there. I mean, God, a million things to talk about, actually, weirdly. But yeah, so Miz, Shebs, Miz is the champion, okay? We talked about this a lot on Monday when we record. It's from the episode Monday, but it was right after the Chamber on Sunday. And we were like, what does this actually mean? And then we saw Raw. We kind of saw where they're going with it. I'm curious where you guys think they go. Here's where I'm at, okay? I feel like I have a hard time believing that they're not going to some kind of Bad Bunny angle with Miz at Mania. I have a hard time seeing them just throw Bad Bunny. Because Bad Bunny, we know he's training, right? He brought that title onto SNL. This WrestleMania is on Peacock. It is on Peacock, okay? Like, okay, they announced that. I didn't know that. You know, it said exclusively on Peacock in the ad I saw, you know? So, you know, Miz is a star of USA. He has a reality show on there. He hosted that Cannonball show on USA. He's one of their most crossover talents. I don't think they're going to have... I know Tulo brought it up, and then I started being haunted about it. I doubt they're going to have Miz versus Bad Bunny for the title at Mania. Newman, you made a face. You think
they might. Yeah, of course.
I think they won't do that. They know that's bad for Bad Bunny, right?
Right, right.
So that's the reason they wouldn't do it. So, if you think about it, are they going to pivot Bad Bunny's programming for Mania into something else after they've spent all this time sinking it into Miz? I think, gun to the head, Miz drops his title before Mania. I even think, to be honest, that we're all a bunch of marks. Drew wins this title back because the Lashley rematch is now set for Monday next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not even Fastlane. Doesn't mean they don't wrestle at Fastlane. I could be wrong. Drew wins that title back at Fastlane, and then we see Brock. Because people are saying we're not going to see Brock. It's not a bad... I'm starting to doubt it myself, but no one is in a position to wrestle Drew right now. Drew is in that same spot as Roman Reigns, except Roman Reigns got Edge, right? Mm-hmm. And like, so you can always wrestle a guy like Edge, who, by the way, one of my favorite things about wrestling is that Hall of Famers are active talent. You know, wrestling, it's so funny. They're like, one of your crowns, like one of your accomplishments in ring is that you're already a Hall of Famer. who are the rest guys who wrestled? He can main event.
You're talking about on-screen credits, like when you're walking down the entrance ramp and they show your qualifications. They had Seth Rollins roll out on SmackDown, and one of his qualifications was engaged to Becky Lynch. And I was like, that's one of Seth Rollins'. I mean, yeah, it's cool, but like, this guy's got a lot of other shit you could put in there.
Engaged to Becky Lynch.
So let's not get too caught up in what they give you credit for doing.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny. They're like WWE Hall of Famer. It's so funny because it's like, what do you think? What is it? Okay, so ways that they calculate your stats in wrestling. Yeah, you have the, like Shem said, you have the curveball stat, which is just a personal stat, which they will use for your power ranking. So right. it's not
just that they use it for people who they don't have stuff to talk about. It's not like if it's like, oh, like, you know, if Bad Bunny comes out, it's not like there's like, oh, you know, as a number one Billboard hit right now. No. If you're as important of a wrestler as Seth Rollins, with as many accolades in the ring as Seth Rollins, they still need to throw bullshit on that rap sheet.
Because that
stuff's important.
Yeah, like
it's
like
generous tipper.
Throughout the first pitch at a Cincinnati Reds game or something like
that. Oh, that was
like,
Miz, right? They're there for Miz.
Yeah, that was for Miz. Yeah, so like you have those kind of accolades. Then you have the amount of titles you've acquired. Regardless of the length of reign, right? Sure. That's just the quantity. That's something that matters a lot.
Well, that's a huge deal in wrestling.
Yeah,
it's a huge deal in boxing. Also, it's probably harder to do in boxing,
right?
But it's a huge deal. Like multi-time champ is a big deal,
right?
In wrestling, it's actually, to me, wrestling, it makes a lot of sense, way more sense than anywhere else.
Because
it's how many times you were so good that they had to put you back at the top. That's a pretty big deal.
Right, because like Jinder Mahal is going to be like the one-time champion. One time they wrote him in. You know, anyway, there's that. And then they will talk about the length of your title run, right?
So if it's good.
Yeah, it has long, to be over 1 year, right?
Right.
No. It's only if it's 300 days.
No, you could hit him with it. I could see a 260-day stat. I bet you could see a stat where it's like 180. I bet. I mean, it's wrestling. Right. They might hit you with a 68. Well,
it's so funny because WWE, they're so inconsistent with that shit. It's like every once in a while they will like throw in like a wrestler's reach. Like every once in a while they randomly like do a stat for stat.
74-inch reach.
They do a stat for stat. They never mention age. Age is never in a tale of the tape ever. But anyway, so yeah, my point is that what do I think is going to happen? So I think there's two options for Mania. Here's where I'm at, and then I'll throw it to you guys. The two things I see is they have Miz keep the title, and then the match is they go triple threat with Lashley and Drew. And they start just building Lashley up as strong as possible, which they did do on Monday. Or Drew gets the title back, and then they go with the Bad Bunny angle. That's where I see that they're going with this. What do you guys think? And then the third part is, do you guys think they know where they're going with it yet?
No, I don't think they do. I think we see, I could actually see Lashley getting the title sooner than later. I don't think that he's not a credible person to beat Drew McIntyre. He's enormous. He's been doing a great work. But no, I don't think at all. Like, it's hard for me to even guess where they're going to go because I don't think they have any idea what's going to happen next either.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take the third part last. Of course they don't know what they're doing right now. They don't know. One thing I'll say, I have not heard any whispers on the streets or the beaches about Lesnar coming in for Mania. So
they talk a lot about wrestling on the beaches of Hawaii?
I do.
Okay, good answer.
I start the convo, and then people have it. You know, they don't know what's going on. And if you control the narrative, you decide the narrative. But Lesnar, you can't rule him out, but let's assume we're not getting Lesnar, okay? I think that, to talk about the first thing you said, the Miz Bad Bunny program, get that out of your head. That's a Tulo nonsense. There's no universe in which Bad Bunny is challenging for the WWE title.
No, I don't think
At any point. And then to take Miz...
Listen,
he's not...
I don't think it's happening.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Okay, look. Then the question is, hey,
Nightmare.
You were insinuating that you thought Miz was maybe going to bow out of the title picture to get into a program with Bad Bunny so they don't waste the Bad Bunny momentum with the Miz.
I say they do Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus Miz and Morrison.
That just seems like such a colossal waste of what the Miz has done right now.
Right.
Because he's going to be going from the main event, the WWE title, being the first double grand slammer. By the way, having the best mic in the business, where we're talking about his USA show, and we're talking about how much of the face of the company could be, and where we're talking about launching Peacock. They're going to take all that and that champion and all that positive momentum with this character and throw it in the toilet so that they don't lose the Bad Bunny momentum. Like, I don't think anyone gives a fuck about this Bad Bunny feud except for Tulo. I mean, it's cool that Bad Bunny is there, but I think more likely what you'll see is Bad Bunny is involved in the angles, but I don't think they're taking Miz out of the title match at Mania after just putting the belt on him post-Rumble so that he could continue his feud with Bad Bunny, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think what Newman said, that was kind of tingling my satchel as well. I was like, maybe we get Lashley with the belt on the road to Mania. Maybe Lashley takes it off Miz.
Yeah.
Because here's the interesting thing. They're that building these guys up. Yeah, tingled my satchel.
Okay.
Jingled your coin purse?
Yeah, jangled my coin purse. They have, if you think about it, they have instantaneously built up credibility with both The Miz and Bobby Lashley. Those guys essentially came out of fucking nowhere because The Miz was in the straight jabron zone for the past 4 months, right? He was getting douched by Bad Bunny at the Rumble. He was doing goof segments with Morrison. He was not a top tier title guy. I mean, he's of course The Miz, so he is. We know he has the potential, but they gave him that belt and they're like, look, bro, you've got a mic in your hands. Just be the champ now. And he could hit the ground running and be that. But it's kind of left fieldy. It's kind of out of nowhere. Again, Dan, we talked about it. This guy got the briefcase, not through some great momentum building run, but through a kangaroo court ruling by Judge the Honorable John Bradshaw Layfield. Like, it's not the season of The Miz. They kind of just came out of nowhere with that. And Lashley has perennially been a complete jobber, essentially, right? He looks like a million bucks, but he's been pretty much amounted to a hill of beans.
He's the original Trump supporter.
Absolutely. But by putting him with MVP, the Hurt Business, I think, has been doing great. But just by having him truly just get angry that he lost the U.S. title, because let's be honest, the U.S. title, not like an empowering belt. He had the U.S. title. That was like a nice mid-card coast for him.
Yeah.
By getting mad that he lost that belt, he just got hot-shotted to the main. He became credible out of left field. Like, I was like, wow, this guy looks fucking pissed.
Well, there's always room for jacked up dudes. We always say.
I know. But now I will say this. I'm the type of dude who's all about momentum. Okay. Yeah. This guy, Robert Lashley, cut. It's a low bar, but he cut the best promo of his life on The Miz on Raw this week. Like, that was the most incredible, threatening, badass. That shit ruled for Lashley. That shit was straight fire.
Yeah, he had a line that he didn't deliver it amazingly, but it was a fun written sign where he said, he said, like, I'm going to put you in a new reality show called How Lashley Sent Me to the Emergency Room.
Yeah, that was gangster. And then he ended it by going something like, it's going to be brutal, it's going to be terrible, and it's going to be awesome. And I'm like, that shit was good. Whatever.
Yeah, it was good. If you have Lashley, I mean, look, he doesn't have the gimp mask, but if you have Lashley with MVP, MVP is like a great mouthpiece for anybody.
I mean, MVP is a straight G, man. That dude is gangster. I love him. His mic is... I mean, I had no idea in that original run he had when he was dressed like a Power Ranger. I did not know how powerful he was on the mic. I think he got there. But he's a guy who's got just the sky's the limit for this guy. I love him to the moon and back.
Yeah.
But Lashley, between that promo, between seemingly coming out of nowhere as a... Dan, let me put it this way. We recorded post-show, you, me, Tulo, Skylar Aston. Lashley, Will Lashley... Is he a main event guy? Does he feel like he's in the title picture? Like, was he just used as like a goon for Miz? What do they do with Lashley? We were both like, oh, we don't really feel like he's going to be like a title shot guy. That seems crazy. So in one day, between that promo and clean victory over Braun Strowman, no selling Braun Strowman's finisher, and then beating him, Lashley is instantaneously has the momentum to be in that main event for WrestleMania. I think it's the beauty of the look
in pro wrestling. Like, it's the beauty of the guy is so fucking huge that, like, it's kind of like
he has a fucking vein in his face.
What is that? It looks like a burn scar.
I thought it was a burn scar.
I don't know what that is.
His vascularity running wild on you.
Yeah, yeah. It could be. That could just be a vein popping through. Imagine when he was just doing a one extra push and a vein just came out for good. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's possible.
But
it's
definitely possible. The suit, they put Bobby Lashley in a suit that made him look like $10 million. Well, $1 million. $1 million. The suit, he looked fucking, what was that, a white?
It was like pink, like, I think. It was like had a pink like, linen suit.
Eight? I thought it was a white, but it was a three to six.
It was a three to six piece suit, right? Like, yeah, I was going to say, it was way more than a three-piece suit. It was many pieces.
A lot of pieces. Suit. I mean, it might have been a six-piece, could have been an eight-piece.
Yeah, let's go. But, yeah, so, yeah, he looked great. I do think Lashley, I wouldn't mind seeing what Lashley looks like in some sunglasses. Is that crazy?
He's not good. I've seen him in sunglasses, but his face is, his head is too big. And too,
trying to cover him up as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, his eyes aren't the problem. Actually, it's the weird mouth of Lashley that's the most off-putting thing. It's not a weak mouth. He just has a very squared, and a square jaw is a good thing, but something about his mouth.
Doesn't he have no eyebrows?
Well, he has no eyebrows. Those are tattoos. He has eyebrows tattooed on his head. That's called microblading, which I think is a huge mistake. He would look better with no eyebrows, like just as like a baby seal. Yeah. But I think if you put Lashley in a solid COVID mask or retribution mask, of course, I'm the type of dude who can appreciate a full gimp mask.
His suit is 100% pink. It's a pink suit.
I mean, whatever, we're going to be playing the
it's
blue
like carnation.
Gold. All right. Look, I can respect it. It popped as very bright and white on my screen, but I will accept pink for sure.
Oh, wait,
but
so, look, okay.
Guys, it's not mutually exclusive. Why can't he wear an eight-piece, beautiful, elegant suit and a gimp mask? Why do we have to choose?
Do you guys notice that they're hurt?
I mean, look, there is precedent for that. Like, it's not a gimp mask, but like there is sort of no look that is slicker than somebody who is jacked up in a suit wearing a lucha mask. Yeah. Like that look is classic. And I think the gimp mask would translate in that same way.
I appreciate you saying that. I agree.
Do you guys notice that the Hurt, I was going to call him the Hurt Locker business. I was going to say the Hurt Locker business. The Hurt business music is, it has the same, it's the same as Io Shirai's music, which I can't fucking play right now. But they both are like when they kick in. Anyway, check that out. I would have played it, but the soundboard's all fucked up today. Anyway,
I don't think anybody has to check it out. Your rendition was so spot on.
Anyway, so all right, let's talk about Miz for a little bit. Okay, so small thing I don't want to forget to mention. Did you notice that Miz is side plates? Are the WWE logo, the generic WWE ones, but upside down?
Yeah,
that's the Miz logo.
Yeah, well, you know, because his logo is just that. But you know that the side plates that just come with the title when you buy it, like just the WWE ones. He doesn't have special ones. He has those upside down.
So let me ask you this: do you think WWE just flipped their plates, or do you think they had custom upside down ones made?
I think they just flipped them because it just took the one from the other side, put them upside down, it'll be the same bearing, right? Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
My belt doesn't have side plates.
Miz came out, no surprise, caught a great promo. And his promo said exactly what he needed to say, laying out how he's the fucking best. I mean, it's just a guy like Miz, he's just so terrific on the microphone. He has such a, not only does he have the skill on the microphone, he has the story. You know, like his story of coming, like being doubted and knowing it, wanting him there. And that now it's 16 years later, he's on top again, going into Mania. It is great. Him and Morrison, I felt like they had a slight botched moment where they were supposed to do a Jeopardy joke.
Oh, yeah. And he didn't say, who is The Miz? He was just like, yeah,
he would have said, who is The Miz? But he goes, ding, ding, The Miz. And you're like, the whole point is that he said it in Jeopardy form. So, right. Morrison, I mean, that was his only line.
You had one job to do, John. Yeah. I mean, Morrison at this point, I love Morrison.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's great, but he's feeling a little Robin Quiversy to me at this point. Like, he just seems like he really hitched his wagon to the right star here because – I don't know. I mean, The Miz is such a fucking top 10, like a just a great main event player. And Morrison's kind of a doof sometimes. I love him, but I wish he had a better, more defined role in this Miz ecosystem. Like when Miz gets badass, Morrison is still in like, man. Miz can do the goofs, but when Miz is like turning up the heat and hitting you with the real shit, you know, like, I've been here for 16 years and you all doubted me, motherfucker. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, Morrison is still just going like, ding, 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 baby. Like, where's the other side of that coin? He needs to figure out how to tap into that so he doesn't seem so out of place.
Yo, Dana's badass, man.
I mean, it's like he's here with us. It's like he's in the room with us right now.
Yo, Dana's badass, man.
All right.
That's badass, man.
No, she's not, though.
Anyway,
if you needed, what other evidence did you need that Tulo has just likes every wrestler? Every wrestler, everything they're doing, it's all great, man. Oh, they're doing work right now.
Badass, man.
I mean, Dana Brooke has not been badass in the history of her miserable career with this company.
So a couple of fun things about Miz. Did you, first off, love they gave him fireworks? I love the game pyro. That was amazing. I like that the Thunderdome has got them pretty loose with the pyro. They're having fun. Like, just if Edge pointed after spearing Roman Reigns. That's never happened. Like, just a fun. But they're like, listen, no one's here. Whatever. Let's just go with a pyro. That's a post win Rumble double pyro. You got pyro again. That's great. Oh, I love wrestling.
I feel like the belt got the pyro, and like Miz happened to be the one holding the belt.
Yeah, it was that there's now pyro for you pyro when you win Rumble. Now there's pyro for choosing who you wrestle at.
I love it. The more they should normalize instances where pyro is necessary more. Like a contract signing, by the time like sign it, slam it down, pyro. I want pyro no matter what.
Yeah, they're like, all right, everyone, we're here. That Edge is in Gorilla. all right, anyway. So, sad Miz girl from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They interviewed her. She was like, you know, that, you know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, is that meme of that girl. She was probably like 8 years old making like a sad face, like a cartoonish angry face. Is it angry Miz girl? I don't know what it was said.
Maybe it's sad Miz girl. I don't know. I think it's angry Miz girl is the meme. It's called angry Miz girl.
It was angry? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember. She looked
both sad and angry. Could go either way, but I think
she looked more angry than sad. That checks out.
There's lamentations for sure.
They interviewed her. They got a quote from her that's now, and she was like, "Yo, Miz is the best wrestler." He's the best wrestler in the game.
We should read the actual quote because it's actually
props to the Bleacher Report wrestling account is very good on Instagram.
Yeah. They do great work.
They do really good shit on there. Whoever's running that, they got the right guy running that. I like the way here it is. She said, "I personally think he's one of the best on the roster. I know it's a big change from my opinion 10 years ago, but I love him when he's a heel champion." And it's Angry Miz Girl. That look.
mm-hmm. Love her.
Yeah. Everyone loves.
She goes on, by the way. She says, "I love when he's a heel champion. I think he's got the personality for it down to a T." And she said, "I loved meeting The Miz, and he was always super kind to me and worked super hard. So I definitely think he deserves it."
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, it shows.
Oh, my God. Angry Miz Girl's badass, man.
Yo, Angry Miz Girl, one of my guys. But here's the thing.
Wow, that's
huge. Call her just Kaylee. And it was 10 years ago, but they're still not giving her full name, which leads me to believe she's still a minor. Because otherwise you'd give this person's full name and they just don't want people like creeping on her or something. Like, yo, what does Angry Ms. Girl look like now? Like, what's she working with? So that means that she's been a wrestling fan since she was like 5 or 6 years old or something.
I would say incredible. That girl in that picture has got to be like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
So you're saying you think that they should give her last name so the wrestling fans of America
her name, her address, a list of all of her fears.
I mean, she's got to be in college, right? So they got to figure out like, hey, where does she go to school? What's she studying? What's her major? What is she into?
No, it's obviously wise to keep her as anonymous as possible.
I'm saying they should. I just saw that and I assumed that meant she was like a minor or that she doesn't want to be like, just like, please don't use my last name. I really don't want these fucking marks just hitting me
right,
up.
Right, right.
But here's my question then. How the fuck did Bleacher Report find her? Like, how did these guys find this lady? I guess she made the press rounds back then and they just had her mom's contact info still.
They called her up for a comment. Yeah. She was like, oh, wow, no one's ever cared about me. This is unbelievable. I don't know. Whoever thought to call her up was the man. Is exactly my 100%, one of my guys.
But I'll tell you what. Like, I remember on the 25-year anniversary of Nevermind, they did an interview with the baby, the naked baby on the cover. That was awesome, right?
What was he like? He was like, yeah, it was kind of weird to have my dick on the cover.
No, he was like, look, my dick was out anyway. He's like, I don't know. He was like, yo, my parents were kind of like, weird artist kind of people, and they like, you know, they were just like taking, you know, down to do these photos, and like, I think it's pretty cool, obviously, but I have no memory of it, but it's a little weird. But he's an artist. He works
diving after a dollar.
Yeah, there's a dollar on a fish hook, and he's swimming after. It's a brilliant title. It's my favorite album of all time. I love it.
That's your favorite album of all time
by default. I wish it wasn't. I don't want an
extended Pyro episode of Cal, by the way.
I'm just saying, it's like if you grew up when fucking, you know, the Beatles.
I think 16 Stone is your favorite album.
Nah, don't play me like that. That's a great album too. I'm not too big to admit it that I love that album. But the best albums for me are Nirvana Unplugged in New York, which is probably even a better album, honestly.
How did we get here? What's going
on? Because I'm talking about the kid, the kid on the cover. Okay. He currently works in Shep Ferry's studio, or he did back then. He was like working as an artist, and that was cool. They interviewed the little baby with a fro on the cover of Ready to Die by Notorious B.I.G. That was really awesome, you know? So I'm honestly ready for the full Angry Ms. Girl, Where Are They Now interview. I want to know
I think she should come back on. He should bring her out on Raw next week. It's like perfect, right?
Ah, that'd be amazing. I mean, look,
the reason they went for her, by the way, I know why, because he. I forgot. He did a backstage promo. I'm remembering this.
He did
a backstage promo where he mentioned her. He was like, I want 5 million Angry Ms. Girls.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great promo. That's why they remembered. Okay. But here's the thing. If Rey Mysterio gets to lug his dipshit kids around every fucking taping and put them on the goddamn screen, why can't Miz roll with the Angry Ms. Girl? Or at this point, we're going to call her Content Ms. Young Woman.
Promising young Ms. Woman.
I want to see more of her. I think she's got star potential.
Me too. All right. Let's move quickly to another topic here. Miz, it's just great to see Miz with the title. It wasn't exactly what I wanted. It wasn't my favorite use of the we talked about it on Monday's episode, but like, you know, the way he got the Money in the Bank briefcase to begin with was so jank. He literally had a kangaroo court. You know what I mean? Like,
But that's the thing. When people say like, hey, why? Because you were saying in that, for people who didn't hear the post chamber app,
right now on the main feed.
Oh, it's free. Check it out. But if you don't want to listen to, if there's only so much cow you could stomach in one day.
So cows have like 6 stomachs.
They have 4 stomachs, actually. They're ruminants. Yeah, they have 4 stomachs. They chew their own cud. Yeah. But the gist of what we're feeling in the moment was, and it's so funny how much 1 week of wrestling changes, but in that moment, we're like,
because you forget. You let it go.
We're like, this is great, but something still feels a little bit like it's missing a half step. Like there's something a little bit strange about Miz doing it. And the reason is because like how much not momentum he had going into this thing. Like he had the briefcase, but he was not like, it wasn't like Kofi Mania where they were like slowly building like, yo, I think he's going to do it. This makes sense. This feels right. It was like Miz was 1000% in the jabron zone, but he had the briefcase, but that briefcase was like filled with lunch meat and like fucking cold cuts. Like it was a complete goof show for months with this guy. Like it was not the main event of WrestleMania
was
level.
JBL was the judge?
JBL, of course, was the judge. you know it, baby.
See, this is the shit about wrestling. You can't, when you describe this to people, you, like, there's so much, you go, all right, like, just let that go, whatever. Like, you got to do it. I think, actually, that's probably what Tulo was doing in this. It's like when people are like, yeah, hey, so I've been watching this wrestling program you guys like so much. Yeah, it's kind of tonally all over the place. There was a kind of a, one of the ex-wrestlers had a courtroom where they were, there was a prosecution going on over if someone should get a briefcase that was actually more of a, like an old-timey work lunchbox. That had a contract in it.
Yeah, could you help? Could you just explain to me what I was looking at exactly there, Tulo?
Yeah. It's good.
All right, hold on. Here's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a very old woman. I'm saying a woman who's too old. Like she shouldn't even be allowed to work anywhere, let alone in a wrestling ring where they're throwing her through a table on the floor. Okay, so that's off-putting enough. And I know you're saying this pretty legit. And The Rock's like the biggest star in America and wrestling.
Yeah.
I'm watching some old stuff.
You don't know who's gonna win. You know what I mean?
It's like a really old woman. Like you're scared for how old she is.
And they
slam her through a table. But that's not even the weird part. The weird part is then a 400-pound black man. I think had sex with her, but then she gives birth. I mean, she's too old. She has no uterus at this point, but she gives birth to a human hand. What are you like? Could you tell me how that is acceptable on television these days? All right. I guess I'll look closely. Look more closely.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. All right, great. Anyway, so listen. I'm gonna switch on over to talking about something that we got the biggest NXT class right now. Interesting. These dudes, you know, I don't know what you call them, but they're WWE recruits reporting to the Performance Center.
Okay.
But among them are four notable names. They said it's the biggest class they've brought in, you know, when they wear the gray shirts and we're like, we're here.
I mean, this is, by the way, this is classic wrestling / Shibiro tactics of you can celebrate anything no matter how insignificant and how small. Like, who gives a fuck? If this is the by volume most amount of people to show up to train on the same day,
I don't know that because they told me that.
Yeah, but like
I haven't been keeping track.
It's a non-story. Oh, you guys are training a couple people I've never fucking heard of. Like,
oh, you didn't know? I didn't know. Okay, but amongst them, there's only four names that are in my mind that I know.
Yeah.
But one is Taya Valkyrie, meaning John Morrison's wife.
Yeah.
Who I've met a bunch of times. Extremely nice woman. Wrestles out here at Bar Wrestling. Is kind of like a SoCal staple of pro wrestling.
Sure.
And it's been always kind of the female wrestler that people have always been like, what happened there? You know? And then now she's going to the Performance Center. So that'll be interesting.
Great. Let's put her in a gray t-shirt. Let's get a full media blitz on this one. We need cameras. We need press. We need the blogs. Let's get them activated.
She's got she's bringing her foofy boots down to Orlando. She wears foofy boots. Yeah.
Nice.
But she, you know, she wrestled it. You know, we'll see what she does. It's gonna be interesting. That dude, Blake Christian, who remember I plugged him on the pod a while back. This guy is pretty fucking sick. I saw him randomly on Instagram. I know he wrestles in Impact. A lot of you guys know who he is. He's a big indie guy. But he's the guy who did I don't know how to describe it. In the ring, jumping to the outside of the ring. So he does he bounced off the ropes, flipped to the outside of the ring, and then caught, and then lands. He flips to the guy on the outside, lands in a scorpion deathlock on the other guy. It goes into it. Like, pretty fucking sick. Actually, one time he did it, he also picked him up into a tombstone, which was cool. This guy's very high flying. This guy,
I gotta tell you, I'm giving this guy a look.
Small, but he's
not into it. I'm not into it. He's a major ginge on this guy.
Yeah,
he looks like that fucking stupid Australian rapper. whatever that fucking guy's name is, like the LaCroix boy or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? You don't know.
No.
Leroy the Kid or some shit.
There's so many of these like rappers now who are like, there's so many like not cool rappers now.
Right? Yeah,
are we in the age of the like not cool rapper?
Look up a guy. Is that rapper name? Look up a rapper named the Kid Leroy. All right, he's just like a little ginger Australian kid, and you're like, why is this guy saying the N word? He's not. He's not. I'm kidding, guys. He's not. But I'm saying he's like in that SoundCloud rap zone. But like, I don't need my rappers looking like this. I don't need my wrestlers looking like this. I like my wrestlers beefy and juicy. Okay.
All right. Well, then you'll like this. Watch, check out the real Blake Christian on Instagram. The guy can go. The guy is pretty sick. All right. The next guy,
like the kid Leroy, looks like he knows what's eating Gilbert Grape.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like it's a creeping McCritus.
The next guy I want to talk about. Yeah. Is Parker Bordeaux. That's the guy who, the mini Brock, who Heyman pointed out on his Instagram. Heyman was like, I'm calling it for this guy. He looks exactly like Brock Lesnar. He's like 21 years old or something. He's already dropped out of college and reported to the Performance Center immediately.
What a great t-shirt on the kid.
I love the Performance Center being like the new like military draft. Like yeah, you get like yeah. You pulled out of school and you gotta go serve at the Performance Center. Jimi Hendrix is dodging it. Cassius Clay is dodging it.
Can you imagine when like they made AJ report down there and he's like, "This is a fucking joke. Like I got these guys gotta watch me run the ropes. I'm AJ Styles." You know, what I mean?
AJ didn't have him do an NXT run. You know, like they let him.
No, because they were like, that would be ridiculous. You know,
like we don't have time. We don't have time. We need to use this guy immediately.
I know.
But Parker,
I mean, Vince, I think my prediction is Vince is going to stop letting guys go to NXT. He's like, you're icing my guys down there. You know,
maybe. But Parker Bordeaux, I mean, I understand the comparisons to Brock because he looks like he's like a corn-fed Midwestern.
Yeah. But you know, he looks like a lot fatter and smaller.
Yeah, to call him Brock is like, I don't know, man. Brock is such a once-in-a-lifetime specimen of humanity. Like, you look at Brock Lesnar, you get the chills. Like, no one looks like this guy. No one moves like this guy for being a 300-pounder. I mean, he walks around at 300 motherfucking pounds and he moves like he's a welterweight, you know?
Yeah, but this guy he seems so young. This guy could get so beefed up.
I'm not trying to be negative here.
He's a lot bigger than his girlfriend.
Parker Boudreaux or whatever his name is. This guy, I'm going to do the opposite of him. Is zilch, dead in the water. Not going to go anywhere. Nothing big. Let's put it out of our minds that he's going to be some sort of like natural at this business. He's going to go the way of what's his fuck? Lars Sullivan. And a footnote, barely a footnote. Not even in the appendix.
It's possible. I mean, we have nothing to speak to this guy's talent other than we know he looks like a little chubby boy, Brock Lesnar. And that's enough. Brock Lesnar is so great and so impressive that just by looking like a chubby little kid version of Brock Lesnar, people are like, yeah, this guy's for real. That's how good Brock Lesnar is. And it speaks to nothing of how good Parker Boudreaux is.
Shabira, did I ever tell you the moment that Brock Lesnar became one of my guys?
What was it?
I was backstage. We had somehow finagled our way backstage for the first SmackDown in LA on Fox. Wow. And we're standing like right behind like Gorilla, like where everybody goes through. And it was when Kofi Mania came to an end, I think, because it was like Brock beat him again for the title. And so he comes through the thing. Paul Heyman's with him. ESPN or somebody, I think it was ESPN, comes up with like a cameraman. And they're like, Brock, we got to get these pictures for the blah, blah, blah. And he like just looks at Paul. And Paul's like, do we have to do them now? He's like, can we do them in Vegas? And they just start walking. So then the guy's like, no, Brock, we have to get them now. And Brock turns around to this cameraman and goes, you have 5 minutes of my time. And then he keeps walking. The guy like runs after him. I'm like, this guy is Brock Lesnar all the time. And in that moment, I was like, yes, one of my guys.
Dude, Brock Lesnar became one of my guys the minute I saw this dude. But let me tell you one of the best, if you haven't seen this clip, it's not a life-changing clip, It's not a, a must-see clip, but it's a should-see clip, okay? Type in Google around for the UFC walkout of Brock Lesnar, where one of the security guards that like walk around you and your team as you're walking down the aisle so people don't run in. And the guy's like not walking fast enough, and Lesnar just like chucks him out of his way while he's like getting he's like, I'm going, man. Like, I gotta go. He just like shoves this dude, and the guy, like, he moves like he's made out of fucking paper. Like, he just flies.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. It's incredible. You gotta love Lesnar.
The next signee for NXT, the last one I'll tell you, is it's I don't know if it's I don't know which Steiner, but one of the Steiner's sons signed with NXT.
Yeah, I know which one. Not Scott Steiner. That guy has zero testicles because of all the steroids he's done in his life. I'm going to go with it's Rick Steiner. Scott. It's going to be Rick Steiner, the guy who looks like a dad ever since he was 22 years old. I'm going to go with that guy being the dad.
Yeah,
not the guy who would wear a chainmail and hang out with prostitutes and call himself a big bad booty daddy.
Yo,
I mean, this guy's Steiner, though, can I just say something about Scott Steiner? Is a beefy boy.
Can I say something about Scott Steiner, though?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, come on, bro.
Steiner, I mean, the Steiner brothers are one of my guys.
So, Rick Steiner, I'm not as into as Scott. Just the Steiner math is so fucking funny. I like it.
For sure. The thing
about J-Mail, Big Papa Pump, calling everybody his freaks. I mean
here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's what we got to talk about the Steiners. The Steiner brothers, you know, coming out like Michigan Letterman jackets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's like a staple of like 80s, early 90s, like wrestling in my head. I'm like, I remember those fucking guys. It almost seems like it was so weird because one of them stayed exactly the same. Like one of those guys like kept his weird cauliflower ear guards and like he's like, I'm a wrestler. Yeah. I'm a wrestler.
Yeah.
Stayed exactly
for referee's position.
Yeah, right. one of them
transformed into a mythological being. Like he turned like seven shades tanner. He got rid of his mullet. He started wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that dude's eyes. Like he's wearing sunglasses permanently. He's got a bleach blonde goatee. He's got biceps on biceps on. He looks like a fucking freak of nature. And he's ranting and raving and frothing. And
all finally, you freaks.
Does not have a good reputation in the back with the boys.
Or good education. His math is not great.
His math makes no sense. And I will say, while watching Scott Steiner in that moment, like being there, being a fan in that, you know, Attitude Era and beyond push of Steiner, they were pushing him as a top guy. And he really was not on the level of those guys. Right. He's not that good. I mean, the promos are ultimate warrior funny. Like they're funny because they're terrible. And his physique is off-putting. Like he's got all the tools, but you're like, this ain't for me. I don't know. And I didn't love, he was definitely not one of my guys. But I gotta look back and say, wow, that shit was incredible that it existed. It's like watching Ultimate Warrior in a way, because like this is such a train wreck that it's awesome. I did a quick Googling, by the way, just to confirm. It is, in fact, Rick Steiner's son, not Scott Steiner's son. I was dead on with my unfair, prejudiced guess that it couldn't possibly be Scott Steiner's son. But the guy's name is Bronson Reichsteiner. And let me tell you something. Kudos to Rick Steiner for naming his kid Bronson Reichsteiner. That name fucking slaps.
Where's Reichsteiner? Is that his real last name?
Yeah, the real last name is the Reichsteiners.
Jesus.
They obviously shortened it to de-crowdify it so that the Americans Americans wouldn't be like, I can't root for the Reichsteiners. That sounds terrifying. But yeah, they're the Steiner. So Bronson Steiner, that's a fucking name and a half, man. I'm all about it. I'm ready for him.
Yeah. I was looking up, what was this Steiner math thing? Phil sent me some Steiner math. That was pretty funny.
He mentioned Samoa Joe in there, right?
All right, yeah. Anyway, listen, I want to mention some other shit. Yeah, okay. Let's talk about this moment. What?
No, well, go ahead. You're good. But I got a couple things on the agenda, but you go ahead.
I'm going to probably hit that stuff. So I'm going to go back to some stuff on Raw. Okay.
That's where I want to be. That's exactly where I want to be.
I want to talk about this Damian Priest for a second.
I always want to talk about Damian Priest.
Damian Priest.
The artist formerly known as Punishment Martinez. God love him. One of my guys.
The most generous thing anyone's ever said about him. That's like the artist formerly known as Almost Good. And so Damian Priest had a move. I don't know if he's done this before and I just didn't remember it. But he was okay. So he did a bunch of, he chained a couple of moves. I sent you guys this combo. The combo's fine, whatever. But then so he's wrestling. I don't remember.
Sent us the combo. Whatever. Where's the combo? I'd love to check out the combo.
I'll send you this combo. Okay. Then his opponent is like in the corner, so he goes. He's in the opposite turnbuckle. He starts tuning up the band, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's tuning up the band, right? Do that. Then he tunes up the band for a little bit, and then he shoots an air bow and arrow at his opponent,
mm-hmm.
and then he screams, "Forever!" And then he runs at them and does a, like a, I don't know what you call it, but like a back body. He like turns around, like a back body splash, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's such a terrible move. It's such a terrible sequence. Like, first off, he's tuning up the band to not use his foot at all.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Then he shoots a non-existent weapon at him.
Right.
And then he screams, "Forever."
I like
Why
that
does
part.
He say forever?
I like
Why?
That part.
Why do you
Let me
like
tell
that?
Something.
That's is... a Cupid. He's like a Cupid's arrow.
No.
Like you're gonna be, we're gonna be in love. Or...
Cupid arrow is not forever. That's a limited time only spell. Mostly more potent around Valentine's Day. But
it's such a terrible. It feels like a wrestler who's just a mess.
But
it's
that's
like
what's
mess.
Going on with the artist formerly known as Punishment Martinez. That's why they need to let me under the hood. They're giving this guy too much stuff. He's a rock star. He's a goth guy. Now he likes fucking reggaeton or whatever fucking genre of music Bad Bunny makes. And he's also all about Puerto Rican pride. And he's also into getting pussy. And he's also
yeah,
into driving cars.
Those
and he's got outsider. He's got outsider's pants. And he also shoots an arrow. And he's got fire. And he's got the underworld and the occult. But mostly it's about getting money and getting fucking laid. Like, the guy is all over the place. But at the end of the day, the raw clay, it's one of those things like, Dan, you're an actor, right? When you go out and audition, sometimes they're like, "Hey, we need a little bit more." And he's like, "Oh, you want more? Okay.
Oh, good for you."
You go, "I'll give you more." And then you turn it up to like a fucking 12. And they're like, "Oh, whoa, buddy. Okay, we like that. Now we're going to reel that back to like an 8. And that's
Yo,
perfect.
I had that recently.
I know.
I was auditioning in this room. For I don't mean interrupting you, but I was auditioning in this room. The director was like, "Great. Now give me like be a little more disruptive, you know, like
start Uber. Like, could you found Uber and disrupt the entire taxi cab industry as we know it, like, bro?"
I go like, "I love that note. Let's go." Right? So that's okay. What I do. I just whatever.
Okay.
And then like so then I go do it and I'm just doing it like the way I think it's funny. To do. You know what I mean? Like, I got to audition in this, like, tame way. Everything, since The Office, everything is like, keep it subtle, keep it real. The director likes it real. And I'm good at that also because I've done it so much now. But at first, I was like, all right, just so you mean not funny. Do it like not funny? Okay, cool. I got it. You know? So then I do it. And then after that take, they're like, "All right, cool. I think that worked." Like, it was so clear that, like, they did not. It was way too big. It
we
was
like
way
it.
Too far.
Well, so you Damien Priested your way through.
I Damien Priested it. Yeah.
And the thing is, he's given us everything. And some of it works. Like, look, I don't like the Archer of Infamy moniker because I truly don't understand it. But I do like when he shoots an arrow. He used to shoot it at the Titantron. Now he shoots it straight up in the air. It ignites like a screen on the ceiling. And then they do a low angle shot of him with his name above him. That looks cool, but they're really just letting it run and gun. And I think what needs to happen is they got to reel it in and say, "Look, dude, we got to pick 3 of these things. Let's pick 3 and go to town with them." But the thing is, with all this bullshit and none of it makes sense, the clay is there. The guy has a physique like no other. The guy's enormous. The guy can go. The moveset, for the most part, is pretty fucking phenomenal. Like, he's got some awesome moves and he knows how to move them. I like the way he moves. So there's a lot of potential there, and he does have some personality.
He's 40 years old.
It doesn't matter, bro.
It's
just get out of here.
I'm not knocking his age. I'm just saying, by then, don't you think you'd like get past your like I was a little lost phase?
No, because he's lost. He wasn't, and now he's starting. Like it starts. He just got out of NXT.
Like, forever.
So look,
terrible.
I'll tell you this.
It's so embarrassing.
The most generous. The most generous interpretation of it is that the forever is it's like the Archer of Infamy, right? So it's like he's known for like his name as this archer will go on forever. It's like that's like the most kind of generous way I can kind of justify
it. I will say
you think
this.
He got that far?
Yes, I do. And I'll tell you why. Because the one part of this whole fucking Mad Libs, mishmash, melting pot of America gimmick that this guy has going on, the one thing that ties it all together is every once in a while that dumb shit Michael Cole will be like, he's just trying to do whatever he can to secure his legacy and live on forever. Like, they throw that in there, and that's the one thing that sort of ties it in together that I hope they change. Like, he's living...
It's
so fucking confusing.
No, but here's the one... Dan, here's the one thing I'll say. I agree with your assessment. I don't like any sort of butt bumps or body splashes or avalanches. Those are not cool. I don't particularly love the arrow shooting. I think it's distracting. I think it needs to go back to Punishment Martinez. Yeah. I've been vocal about... Ever since I found out that Damian Priest was Punishment Martinez, I've been pretty vocal that I think he needs to go back to Punishment Martinez immediately. Yeah. Okay? But what I will say is, you knocked, and I also agree, like, knocking, tuning up your foot and then not using it, all this stuff sounds horrible. Yeah. But the screaming of forever before doing the move, not only I think is awesome, but I think it's, you can scream forever before you do anything on earth ever, and it's awesome. Like, imagine I go to the bank and I go to deposit a check, not through the ATM, but to the teller, like in person, and I sign it and I hand it to them, and I just go, forever. That's awesome, okay? Take a drag off a vape. Take a drag off a cigarette. Exhale and just go, forever. You're the man. It's awesome. I love it, baby.
You mosey out of your apartment, get some letters in your hand.
Yeah.
You go over to the mailbox. You pop open the slot. You drop your posted letters in there. You close it. Forever.
Yep.
Yeah, and then I go, hey, Newman, I just saw you mailed something. What kind of stamp did you use?
No questions. No further questions.
Oh, fuck. All right.
But if you have forever, it's a forever
stamp. Oh, yeah.
Let me paint the picture for you. It's a lonely Saturday night. You're stuck in pandemic. It's raining where you are because you don't live in Waikiki. You live in some asshole place like where you guys live. And it's raining and nothing's going on and you're sad and you just ate a microwavable burrito. And then you decide to treat yourself before you go to bed and crank one out. Just you, you know. Just you and your computer and your right hand and some lotion. You crank it out. You come right in your hand. And you let it drip all over your chair. You're disgusted. And right as you ejaculate, you whisper to yourself, forever. That's awesome! That turns that whole sad moment around.
This is like we're... Like,
it's not forever, but there is a really funny scene in the show Weeds where Kevin Nealon is having sex with this woman. And right as he comes, he yells legendary.
Yeah, well, listen, guys, you guys are making a lot of excuses. Yeah. All right, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I don't know where
you brought it up, bro.
Okay, all right, yeah.
What if he yelled then, now, forever?
I love it.
I would love that. I would think that was badass, man. So I think that, all right, another interesting part of Raw, Randy Orton's cutting a promo. Okay.
I mean, we got to talk about this is the biggest thing that happened on Raw, right?
Yeah. It was kind of a weird Raw. It was like a lot happened, but it was also extremely uneventful. So Randy Orton is just cutting a promo to camera, and then all of a sudden he just starts spitting up black ooze, right?
Yeah.
And then they cut back to the announce team, and they act like he just died. Like, they're so solid.
They got the Owen hush on the voice.
They tried. Here's the thing: wrestling always tries to ape real life phenomenons and, like, you know, try to repurpose them and, like, recreate that magic. And they truly tried to recreate Owen hush, and I found it disgusting, and I hated it. But here's the other thing I'll say about that moment.
Like, oh wow. Wow.
They didn't even do a good job with that because they no. I rewatched it. I almost want to cue it up again. They don't even mention Randy Orton or that he coughed up black stuff. They just act like something really weird just happened. And they're like, and Byron Saxton, God damn, does that guy suck? He can't even keep it real for a fucking half a second because he's the first one that talks and he just looks down and is like, well, I guess we just got to, like, he'll keep doing the show. I don't know. Like,
I don't remember Baron. I don't remember, like, a second of his work since he's been there.
He's awful. He is awful. He looks. He should wrestle. He looked like a good looking.
He was
dude.
A wrestler.
Like,
he was.
I'd love to see him in the ring. He's got nothing for me on that mic. But his treatment of this. Here's the thing. not only did they fail at capturing like what we're going to call Owen Hush, which is, I think, offensive, but we're going to just go with that. It's like when something very serious happens and you have to just like cut the bullshit. Be like, hey guys, we don't know what's happening here.
I didn't invent it. I just named it.
Okay, that's true. Look, it's a phenomenon that we all know what we mean when we say it. So
yeah,
they cut back to these guys and they are handling this. Not only are they not handling it realistically, because that's not how you would behave if you just saw someone cough up a viscous black fluid that you don't know what it is and potentially be dying. They didn't handle it like with any realism, and they also didn't handle it in a way that furthered the show. They almost acted like they were trying to ignore it.
Right.
And it was so terrible. Like, if I was watching Randy Orton and he started puking up black stuff, I'd be like, what is, oh my God, somebody get it in. Like, what is going on with Orton?
Is that situation handled? Like, you know, should we just keep going? What do we do here? I mean, he's coughing up. Is Randy okay?
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah, right. Someone needs to check. Guys, like, we got to get a med team over there. But no, they're just like, oh boy. Like, wow. Well, I guess.
Yeah. Oh man. You know,
like, I guess like we got to just like, I guess we should call this next match. And here's the other thing.
So weird.
And the stupidity. I mean, look, the past month, this guy's been talking about how the Fiend could go suck his dick. And he's like, fuck the Fiend. He's never coming back. And Alexa Bliss has been holding full on blazing hot seances. Like, for them to not even like, just, they're not even like suggesting perhaps, hey guys, maybe this has something to do with that occult leader, the Fiend, that we know about, who's been missing since this guy set him on. They didn't even like try to connect the dots into a storyline furthering.
No, because they also are like, they're like, yeah, he lit the Fiend on fire, but it's like, he, that, so you mean you guys think he just got murdered, right? And in which case you are letting it go then.
Look, Randy was cutting a promo. Randy was cutting a promo about the Fiend. Yeah. The announcers acted. They did not even acknowledge that the Fiend existed. They did not acknowledge that there's a guy who dabbles in supernatural shit. And him and Orton is literally talking about a feud with him. They weren't even just like, oh my God, I wonder, could the Fiend be behind this? Like, is the Fiend back? Like, what does it mean? They did nothing but they totally fucked this up. Like, I assume they got some bullet points. I'm like, hey, say one or two of these things and just like act scared. And they just like couldn't
edit it in after they like cut, they filmed it backwards. Like, I don't know. It was very odd.
It was a small moment, but it was one of the worst pieces of business I've seen in months.
I have a question. Is Randy feuding with Alexa?
I think so. Yeah. I think you know better than I, because you're the seance guy, but I think Bray is inside of Alexa right now, right?
I mean, the Fiend.
Like, the Fiend is like
the Fiend's like, spirit.
He's doing like what Voldemort was doing in like early Harry Potter, right?
Yeah, but I don't watch that nerd shit. But the I think the idea is that she is, you know, going into the nether realm and conjuring his spirit and trying to bring him back here, but he needs a host to be in. And so she's offering her body as the host and as the conduit through which he can manipulate Randy Orton. But it really just kind of reads as, now it's like, I half expect it to be like Randy versus Alexa Bliss at Fastlane.
Well, I will say this. I love what they're doing, but I'm a little confused. I know you believe that she's going to be like the new Fiend, but I think that it's simpler. I think she's just going to like at some point like resurrect Bray.
No, yeah, I don't think that. I mean, that's like my too low like mark dead end of like, oh, what if he like, you know, now she's like the Fiend, you know.
Right.
But I definitely think that she's going to like have another ritual or something where he comes back, which I'm totally okay with.
Right.
But yeah, I just think that, but they could have even been like, you know, wow, I wonder if, you know, that ceremony that Alexa Bliss did last week has anything to do with this. Like,
yeah, they connected zero dots. They just acted like, you know what they acted like? They acted like they didn't know that that segment was going to happen. And they were like, oh, I think we should just act like it's spooky. And they just totally shit the bed. But here's on the subject, a couple things I think would be great. Alexa, I actually think she's a good wrestler also. I think she's an incredible performer. But I like her in the ring too. But she's so undersized that it obviously looks weird when she has to like legitimately fight people like Ronda or Nia or Charlotte.
Right.
But if you imbue her with this supernatural, indestructible Fiend energy, because the beauty of the Fiend is they went whole hog with this thing. They were having this guy no sell like 10 chair shots. Like he was no selling finishers. And obviously we all know that's bullshit in the world of wrestling. No matter who you are, if you get hit with that many chair shots, you're dead. But with him, we bought it. If they have her now have that power, that would make all her matches for the duration of whatever, however long that fiend Alexa run, virtual. She'd be able to like compete in the ring with people of like Shayna Baszler or whatever, like people who are way bigger and more credible than her. And I think that would be really, really good for the Alexa character and for the whole Firefly Funhouse universe. So I really want to see Fiend Alexa as a thing that exists. I could even see her in a fucking fiend mask, like a kind of like a clowny but feminine but fucked up kind of mask, like her version of the fiend mask would be super awesome.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that spiky haired dipshit Ryan Cabrera is holding her back. I think that she has all this creative, and he's just like, let's just play acoustic guitar. I'm like, you don't need that.
Yeah.
She's
gotten a little soft in her game because of RC.
I think another thing that could be cool, though, is if she comes into the ring to, like, fight Randy Orton. Because whenever she's been going up to people and, like, confronting them, it's visually so great. Because she's such, like, a cutesy little girl in a skirt, like, being like, da-da-da-da-da. And she, like, she has to look up at everyone.
Yeah,
and,
90 degree
and get
angle.
In their face. Yeah. And it looks like it's just great framing. Like, it looks like great art, like a fucking Rembrandt. But, I mean, like aesthetically, it has a really cool vibe to it. So I love seeing her confront Randy and get in his face and have to literally look a foot and a half higher to make eye contact. But I think it'd be great to see her come to the ring and the lights drop and she transforms into Bray. Like then Bray is there and she's gone. Like she flashes into the fiend.
Oh, like he absorbed her essence and then she is gone.
So like when Alexa walks around like Bruce Banner, she's Bruce Banner. But when you piss her off, she turns into Bray Wyatt the Fiend. Like, I think that could be really cool.
Yeah, they would never do that, but I like
it. Yeah, but that's why they need me there. In fact, I should return this guy's email. Like, I just don't do it.
They've been trying to hire you.
They're trying to hire me, and I refuse to, because I'm not going off island. I live out here now. I do not return to the mainland for any reason. You guys know that.
All right, let me jump to some other shit. Rhea Ripley is coming to Raw. They announced it. Mick Foley tweeted out being like, look, I know Rhea's coming, and he's like, they cannot afford to 50-50 her. They have to put the rocket to her and just like let her be the top away.
Foley doing some armchair booking. I like it.
Yeah. And he was like, just don't let that happen to her. What do you guys think? I think they had no choice but to like have Rhea, like they already blew the whole like Rhea surprise thing. You know, she already came up last year and wrestled in Mania, so I don't mind them being like, she's coming to Raw. That didn't really bother me personally because I don't think when she showed up, but I don't know. She's already like shown up a bunch of times, including in the Rumble this year, you know, but she's going to have a huge presence like immediately. I think, you know, I could see her beating Asuka first match. Like I could see her beating Asuka for the title right away. Like first
Foley's
match.
Concern is legit, right? Like historically they just, If you don't give Vince exactly what he wants or whatever the reasoning is, you just get booked into nothingness. So he's right that there is a chance that could happen.
Like the beauty of Rhea is like you know, I always kind of whatever. I always say like I don't, you know, like her personality doesn't do much for me on the mic and blah blah blah. I've said that. It's kind of just like irrelevant. Like she is a genetic freak, you know, but like she's huge. She can put on like women's wrestling matches that will put women's wrestling up there on the card, you know. That's just really all that really matters. It's like if you put Rhea in a match, it's gonna be big time. It can be dangerous, it can look pretty brutal, and that's really where Rhea is like shines to me. It's like bring her in just for the fucking muscle aspect. Like she could go, she's huge, let her beat the shit out of people, she's just gonna elevate that whole division, you know. So I'm excited for her to come up, and I think, but I predict they will handle Rhea correctly, you know what I mean. I think Vince is, there's no way Vince is looking at her being like, I see her as mid-card. Like I understand why he was iffy about Shayna Baszler, I have faith in even Vince that he's going to get this Rhea thing. Maybe he won't like all the writing for it, but that she will be booked extremely strong, you know?
Yeah. I think so. I think it's hard to look at her and not see. Look, she's essentially like a female Lashley. Like, you look at there's a lot of beef there. I mean, Vince can, that's a strong lady. Like, you got to respect the muscle, the power. She can go, man. So I don't see I don't even know what the danger is here. Like, I'm not worried about Vince not seeing what Rhea's all about.
No. I just think, wrestlers get nervous. All right, another random thing. Morrison and Riddle wrestled. Riddle's the U.S. champion. God, is he doing such a bad job with this gimmick? Like, of
Riddle or Morrison?
Riddle. I don't even want to get into it, but
yeah, we don't need to get into it. All we need to know is that I've been saying this for fucking months. Like,
it's like it's so unnaturally unfunny sometimes. Like, sometimes I'll buy into the Spicoli elements of it, and then a lot of times it's like, dude, what are you doing? You know? Anyway,
well, I've been saying this forever. He's just not it. He's not the guy. I'm sorry. It's just not working. Working out, Matt.
If they let it, like, he's just so stiff on the mic. You're like, dude, you seem like such a calm, loose dude. Like, why can't that translate to your promos at all? He just can't.
Dude, he's a fucking walking Borat quote. Like, he's not a funny guy. He's just like a silly, like, oh, that's fun. Like, he's a fucking Anchorman quoting frat boy. Like, there's no like inherent humor or comedy or something interesting to the, I said this, being a guy who likes to smoke weed is not a fucking personality. That's not a gimmick. Like, oh, he's cool because of weed, and everyone's like,
make
yeah,
you
that's awesome.
One of a kind.
No, look, Rob Van Dam. I was always very critical of Rob Van Dam's mic working gimmick, because it was basically like, it was like 90s stoner. It was like weed before we knew that weed was cool. It's like yin yangs. And like, look at this cool dragon, bro. He's smoking
aliens.
Aliens, eight balls, and fucking peace signs. I'm like, bro, that shit ain't cool anymore, man. Yeah. So, he's also such a good wrestler. Look, I like Rob Van Dam. I'm just saying, I say it to people in real life too. Like, doing drugs is not a personality. You also need to have a personality. You can't just be like, we all think weed rules, right? Let's be funny. Let's not just be a cool stony guy.
So anyway, I brought this up to pop Morrison for his in-ring work. Because Morrison, he did a standing shooting star press kind of a thing. And then Riddle moves out of the way and goes into a triangle submission. Did you see that? That shit was sick. Morrison, it does one thing a match where you're just like, wow. Like, the guy I'm happy he's on the, in WWE roster. I'm happy to watch Morrison matches. Nitro's
legit.
I'm
glad he's there. I will say, there's some sort of difference to me, though. Like, I don't know what, cause maybe you guys could help me figure this out.
Yeah.
But you have like your flippy dippy doodahs, like your Lucha guys and your Ricochet.
Yeah.
Morrison seems like he would be able to do all that stuff. Maybe he can do all that
stuff.
But he doesn't, but he pulls out some of it, and somehow it's better. Like, I like what Morrison does better. Is it because he's also jacked and huge? Is it because he does it sparingly? Like, why does Morrison's style work more than the straight Osprey for me?
Because it's sparing. Because he does it like, it's like almost like AJ Styles in a way, where it's like, you know what he's capable of. And it's like, when he does pull out some move you've never seen before, it's just much more impactful than somebody who's doing 1080 flips every single match.
Well, it's that fine line between acrobatics and like cool fight moves or whatever, I don't want to use the word acrobatic again, but it really is like, it's like when somebody you're looking to suspend your disbelief, and there's like that believability element. Like, sometimes somebody does like a bunch of flippity doos, and you're like, all right. So he's like a little Cirque du Soleil. He's not a wrestler.
This isn't a fight anymore. Like, he's not fighting this.
So you're like, oh, I get it. This guy, like, so I'm watching it. Like, whereas like when I watch Cirque du Soleil, I've went to watch Cirque du Soleil, and I'm like, I'm just kind of like, all right, that was cool. Like, it's just to appreciate that these people could do this stuff, as opposed to telling me something, or like they pretend there's a story. They're like, this is the Michael Jackson story told through Cirque du Soleil. I'm like, all right, it's just flips with different music. Got it. Right. Like, you know what I mean? So it just never does it for me, but it's probably more impressive than anything else I've ever seen. You know what I mean?
Morrison has this one move where he does like that I only ever seen him do it once, where he does like the razor's edge Blue Thunder, like, fucking side slam. Have you ever seen this? He, like, puts you up and
down
the
razor's
edge. Have you heard about this? You read about this?
YouTube Leno just showing moves.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I've heard about that. You read about this? John Morrison, he puts the opponent up in a razor's edge, and then he spins them around, and as they're Blue Thundering around his body, he lands in a side slam. It's really, really impressive. What do you think, Kev?
Oh, that's good, man. That's good. I like that.
Oh, man, that's a new bit for the show that I like. You're right. Honestly, I'm not good enough to describe it, but I think that what it is that when a move looks like a move but has a fun element to it, it's kind of almost as simple as that.
Yeah, I think
that's why lucha wrestling, you can always see that lucha wrestling is like two dancers. You always feel like, oh, they're like, it's cool, but it's like when you watch a Hurricane Rana as a move that I'll never really truly pop for. Like, it's cool because you're like, but you're always like, oh, okay, I see. Like, Cedric Alexander did one, I guess, against Lucha House Party this week, where it's like, you see that the one guy who's doing it is jumping up on him, falling down, and then Cedric Alexander is choosing to do a front flip onto his back, onto the mat. So there's no coordination there. Where a lot of stuff, when Morrison does something that's like, he does that move that's kind of like a fireman's carry with like a somersault or whatever. You're like, mm-hmm. Oh, he's just carrying that guy before the move, you know?
Right, right, right.
So yeah, he's also incredibly strong.
I think that's what works for me. Like, you gotta also be a fucking badass. Like, you gotta be fighting and kicking ass and being strong. You can't just be doing a little fucking hopscotch routine.
Right. Yeah. All right. Here's a couple more things, but huge piece of news. Big Show signs with AEW. That is confirmed. Paul White is All Elite.
Wow.
I mean, so I expect this to be a wrestling contract, right?
I think it is. From what I could tell from like Instagram, it looks like he's wrestling, but I don't know why.
I don't think he's going to wrestle that much. It'll be probably Sting, kind of what Sting's doing, right? And then, but long term, it's really cool because Big Show is gonna fit really nicely into the whole fold of like he could be a manager, he could be like a commentator. Like, he's Big Show, he's huge.
I think he could be a commentator. I don't need to see this guy managing anybody. He's not gonna be able to do
like what Taz, like how Taz kind of seamlessly came in, and Taz is like fawning good on them. I love Taz. I know you don't like Taz, but
not one of my guys.
I know.
Wasn't Big Show just on WWE like a month ago?
Yeah.
Well, he had that show. He had like a show on Netflix that they produced.
Yeah, I know, but Netflix caught it. So, yeah.
Well, maybe AEW will try a new showrunner, revive it.
Yeah, they might. Anyway, I don't really know what else to say other than Big Show's in it. We'll see what happens. It was definitely shocking to me. Big Show does not feel like a talent Vince would let go.
Right. But, it seems crazy, but.
You know, but I guess he did.
Well, I think you could also moneyball it, too. And it's like, if they are like, oh, it's going to cost, like, AEW is going to pay him X amount, like, Vince is going to be like, well, that's not worth it. Like, I don't fucking need you for that shit. Like, get out.
Yeah, and also, they'll have the Shaq Big, they can actually have the Shaq Big Show fight, which was supposed to happen, like, for a long, long time. And now AEW can actually do a Shaq Big Show.
Something we've all been waiting for.
I don't care. It was supposed to happen at 33, and it just never came to fruition. Like, I believe they did some kind of promo for it. Like, Shaq showed up one time, and then just never came together. And it was really like the Orlando Magic match. Anyway, Charlotte and Ric Flair had an interesting moment on Raw that I personally really enjoyed. I was texting with Tulo about it. He was like, "Yo, I zoned out. All I saw." Dude. Tulo said, I don't know what Tulo's doing.
I cannot be more like, me and Tulo's wrestling fandom is so not synced up.
Dana's badass, man.
To Tulo's credit, he did send me, he's like, yo, I zoned out for a little bit, probably because he was high and maybe a little drunk and hot dog high. And he
was high on chili dogs.
Yeah, so many. He's still texting about those chili dogs. Like, yeah, man, like, we're still thinking about you eating chili dogs 6 days ago. But whatever.
Hebrew National is badass, man.
Badass, man.
I thought that Charlotte, let me tell
you what he texted me. I texted him and I was like, yo, that Charlotte, am I wrong? I was watching Raw Live this week And right. Which really is the way to do it, by the way. Sure, you sure, will sure. enjoy it 20 times more if you watch it when it's on, if you can. I understand because it's so the hard
time
to
difference,
do.
The time difference, I can't. It's primo waves, bro. Primo surfing time.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to miss the waves. Do you have a surfboard?
I got three.
Okay. I don't think you do. But anyway, so I texted in the thread, and I was like, yo, was I wrong that Charlotte Rick segment was, like, really fucking good? And then Tulo's like, I zoned out. All I saw was this. And then he posted a gif of Lovitz on SNL when he's doing that, like, acting. You know, he does that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, all right, that is fair. Because, like, you did feel like Charlotte was acting, but I think she did a fucking awesome job in that segment.
I think she crushed it.
Like, I was like, it was a dramatic segment, if that's what your point was. But how could you not enjoy that segment? It was like the first good segment of this whole Flair Rick comeback, right?
It was really good writing. I was shocked. Yeah. I was like, this is a believable father-daughter scene, a Flair family scene. They're talking about preserving the legacy.
Tulo zoned out. He zoned out.
He couldn't handle actual good content. This guy's been marking out for dog shit content for so many years. His brain is so frazzled from pretending to like the Dark Order and like trying to find a nice thing to say about Ricochet that he can't fucking appreciate actual good acting or storytelling or writing or nailing something.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Someone don't show this guy Daniel Day-Lewis. Because he's gonna look at me like, well, who's this piece of shit asshole? What trailer park did this moron come out of?
Oh my god, it's badass, man. But yeah. So anyway, the segment was like, it was like a nice. I hope they follow it up because it was a cool setup. Which is like, she was kind of like, I love you, Dad. And she's like, go, like you're. I just don't believe that you're here to support me. Like you're lying. You're always the fucking niche. You know what I mean? And like, I need to do my own thing. So go away from me. Now, I don't know if this is my guess is this is just a pivot because Lacey's actually pregnant. You know what I mean? And so they're like, let's change the dynamic and let's do it fast, you know?
Yeah.
But it was really good, you know? It was really good. I really liked it.
I also like, they really handled one thing that is, you gotta love when they just make something feel a little bit realer and take a little bit of the confusion out. If you're going to try to enjoy content, your brain can't laugh at the joke or appreciate the action or understand the story. If you have major questions about the reality and the storyline of a situation, you can't just like sit back and enjoy because your brain is like, what's that about? Wait, what is this? Are we supposed to think that or this? If you have got these questions in the background, you can't fucking just vibe out, man. And one of the questions I have is, are they trying to sell me that Ric Flair is fucking Lacey Evans and she is now pregnant with Ric Flair's baby? Is that what they are saying or not?
I don't know. I don't think they explicitly said that.
But that's the thing. That's one of the why this promo was so good because Charlotte says, she's like, I don't know if it's your baby or not, but you're acting like it's your baby, which is like just weird and like that's hurtful to me on a whole nother level. But like, I don't even know where you're at. I almost don't care.
Yeah.
But here's our problems. And just to like, justify that and call it out and be like, look, now we're all on the same page, viewers and performers and writers.
Zoned out.
This guy zoned out when they started making it make sense. Like, that's what he's like, dude, I can't handle it unless there's like a sommelier who doesn't have wine. Like, I can't understand things unless they make a wineless sommelier.
He's wineless and spineless, folks. Give it up for Reginald.
Reginald, by the way, has potential to become one of my guys. They gave him a bottle of champagne the other day, and I was like, I like what I'm seeing.
That's the cabin fever of wrestling. You're like, he's a sommelier. Finally, he has some wine. Like, I mean,
I just need it to make sense. You make it make sense for 1 second, and I'm yours forever, man.
Oh man. All right. Last thing I'll talk about. Did you have other stuff from Raw?
I've got a big announcement for you. I got something I got to get off my chest, but I don't know.
All right, we'll get to that. Okay. All right. I forgot. You said on Monday you had an announcement. All right. Let me just tell this last thing. I watched the pilot of Young Rock, and I really enjoyed it. I had heard from a lot of people that it's really good, and I believe, you know what? I got to tell you, it is really good. Is it like amazing? No, it's not amazing. It's not amazing, but it is a show where I was hooked from watching it. I thought it was it had some good jokes in it, and Skyler made a point that's exactly the correct point, which is like, they don't shy away from the wrestling. They really lean into the wrestling. He's like, I grew up in a wrestling household. And he says the term work the gimmick like 30 times in the episode. Like the episode, the pilot is about working the gimmick. Like, and they show you his dad like leaving the arena in an expensive car, and then they go to a shitty ass hotel. And his dad's like, you gotta work the gimmick. He's like, I can't be leaving the arena in a shitty car if I'm playing that guy out there. And that's why I spent all the money on the car. You know what I mean? And so then the whole thing's about working the gimmick. And then, like, you know, you're like, oh, that's why. It gets into that psychology of it. And he's like, yeah, I can't be spotted. That's why I can't talk to Uncle Iron Sheik in public, you know? And you're like, oh, it's cool. They lean into all that. It's great. There's one weird thing about it. The framing device of the show is The Rock is running for the president in 2032, right? Mm-hmm. It's the only thing odd about the show for me. And then there's like, hey, they live in this like fictional future where he's running for president now, and there's all these movies that he's done. He's done like 50 Fast and the Furious since this point, and like, yeah. So he's referencing. A lot of his jokes are him just like inside jokes on like movies that never happened that have like the cast of Fast and the Furious in it, right? And you're like, that's fine, I get that. It's not funny, but it's fine. But the weirdest element is that he's being interviewed by Randall Park, who is
by
playing
Dr. Miracles himself, Randall Park.
Yeah, he's being interviewed by Randall Park, who's playing Randall Park, right? He's not a character. He's Randall Park in the future saying, I used to be an actor back in like 2020, and now it's 2032, and I'm a news anchor. And that's one of the jokes in it, is that he used to be an actor. And you're like, guys, how did this get approved? Like, I Randall Park's great. I like him in that role, but he should just play the guy who's interviewing The Rock, right?
I think what we have on our hands here,
yeah,
is a Damien Priest situation. Okay, what we have here
is Kafka. Like,
they're like, look, who is Kafka? Tell me. They're like, look, you're The Rock. We trust that you know what you're doing. This is your world, man. You fill it out. It's like, cool. No one's reeling this guy in. So like, all right, we got Randall Park. I love Randall Park. Let's get the guy from Fresh Off the Boat. We got him in there. Guess what? You know, it's funny. If he's a news anchor playing himself, he's not an actor. Now he's a news anchor. We got my whole, I'm leaning to the wrestling as hard as possible because I am wrestling. I'm running for president 2032. Like, they're just, you could have got away with this show with one third of the fucking gimmicks of this show.
Yeah.
And it would still be a great, compelling show. And I'm not saying they're leaning on all this stuff, like oversaturating as a crutch. Yeah. I think they're just like, super excited about all this funny shit they came up with. They're like, let's just do, why can't we do all of it?
How does that joke slip by? Even if I was Randall Park, I might even be like, guys, I don't even know if I'm famous enough for this joke.
He's not. He ain't. That's the best part. But it's all works, man. It's wrestling. It's The Rock. It's Damien Priest. It's too much gimmick. And that's the world that we're showing people.
No one's putting Damien Priest in that conversation.
I'm saying, based on our previous conversation about Damien Priest's gimmick, which is all over the place, because that, my friends, is what badass
man.
It's not badass man, okay?
Yeah.
It's just, that's wrestling. It's, look, we could have got away if we just, like, pared this down and really made this a perfect fucking shined up object. That'd be one thing. But instead, we're going to give you 17 things. You're going to like 14 of them. It's going to be fine. Right. That's what's going on. And I love it. And I'm here for it.
I'm excited to watch the show going forward. It's really fun. It's they have a bunch of, like, you know, you just see like the Wild Samoans, you know, like this dude who plays Andre. It's a good time.
You need to
make it a clip show. Like, why frame it like that? Why not just have it be a straight show about The Rock's life?
I don't know, because it was like, when he was a kid, I was into it. I was like, oh, maybe like as the show goes, like, it's not going to get canceled. It's The Rock's show.
Right.
So you don't need to like be jumping all around. I don't get that either. The like three power, but that's a very in en vogue way to make a show. They had like, they keep doing shows that are like three different timelines, you know, because This Is Us did it. You know what I mean? So I think that's very, it's just kind
of wrestling. It's wrestling. Hey, This Is Us is popular. This Is Us. Well, guess what? This is us. This is our us. We're doing the This Is Us thing. Yo, we're doing it wrestling.
It is hilarious because when he's in high school, everyone thinks he's a narc because he has a full mustache.
That's like, great.
That shit was hilarious. It's fine. The Rock's great. It's great. It's like I'm excited to keep watching it. It's just an odd Randall Park situation. It's at the center of the whole show. You're like, and I love Randall Park. I've worked with Randall Park, folks.
Good for you.
Yo, Randall Park.
Yo, Dana's badass, man.
Too low. He's zoned out, bro. He's zoned out.
Just you need to sit there and you need to appreciate and respect what The Rock is doing for wrestling. They are bringing this so into the mainstream. He is normalizing this crazy goof world. He is helping explain these concepts to non-marks across America.
And like unapologetically said working the gimmick. They didn't keep over explaining it. They're like, yo, keep up or don't. You know, great.
He is the Queen Esther of wrestling. Okay. He's a guy where everyone's like, wrestling is bullshit. And he's like, is it? Guess what? You may not know this. I'm a wrestler. And then they're like, whoa, holy shit. Okay, you're a wrestler? I guess wrestling
is
cool.
Yeah, he does not shy away. At this point, he does not shy away from the fact that I was a wrestler. He's like, it's in my fucking blood. It's who I am.
But that's the thing. At this point, he's the most famous man in America. He doesn't need to shy away from jack shit. And he is a wrestler. And it is in his blood. So why would he deny that part of his heritage? It's like saying that it's like denying his Samoan heritage or his African-American heritage. It's part of his life. And he's going to be proud of it like you're proud of any other identity. And part of that means giving a platform to wrestling.
Yeah.
And saying, look, you guys don't know about this. You don't respect this. Well, guess what? It's important to me. So now I'm going to tell you everything about it. And I absolutely love it.
I agree, but also I also agree with Newman where it's like this style of writing is not I like the show, but it's not my style. Like I don't need like you set up like I always dreamed to get my mom that car, and then he gets her the car like 3 minutes later in the episode. You're like, that's like season finale buying the car, right? Like
you know
what I'm saying? You're like, all right, I get it. That's not what we're doing here. But that's you know, these are network sitcoms. They don't learn though, because it's like the stuff people like about those like Friends. Like I don't know what they're totally thinking. Like I'm rewatching. I'm actually watching for the first time all of it together. But I've seen episodes of The Office right now. Like I started from episode one and I'm going through it. And you're like, man, people, you stop underestimating how people follow along with inside jokes and how you lay groundwork and lay foundation for things, because you're like, I'm watching this show and you're like the Jan Michael Scott relationship, you know what I mean? Like they kiss one time and it's talked about the entire show, and it's so satisfying, you know, like that, to see that slow progression of this thing. And that's the stuff I think is what makes people rewatch. Like I don't know. I think people don't realize, they get kind of worked into real, like that's the stuff that pulls you in, the story, the Jim and Pam, this and that. And then the jokes are what make you laugh as you're watching it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so I don't know why they think this thing. I think they're so impatient. They're like, we got to see her get the car. This and that. It's like, we know The Rock can afford to buy his mom a car. We can all infer that The Rock made enough money to buy the car. Why not have that be more about the moment of his mom actually seeing, like, I thought you just said that. I didn't think, you know what I mean? You blew that moment for us, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I think we're talking about two institutions that are historically impatient and a little bit out of touch. Network television and pro wrestling, okay?
Which is now on network television.
Right. Now you're layering together. And all you have to understand is The Rock and that team and that content and those stories are so good that they're going to break every rule and kind of bobble so many things they could have done better. And it's still going to be amazing. That's how good this guy is.
Yeah.
So I'm not here to nitpick this and that. I'm just here to enjoy the motherfucking ride. And let me tell you something. The real point of the show is you want fucking meta. How about The Rock is actually going to run for president in 2032 and he's actually going to win. And let me tell you something. I think the only weird part about that is it's probably going to be sooner. I think 2032 is like an overshot. I think it's 2028. I mean, this guy is going to be the president.
Yo,
and it's going to be amazing.
His campaign slogan in it is like, hold on, I'm coming.
I love it.
It's like, yo, he doesn't even assume, he doesn't even acknowledge he's going to lose. He's like, you just got to wait a couple. That's how this works. You know what I mean?
I love it. I love it. I love this guy.
All right, we gotta get out of here.
I love DJ. DJ is the fucking best, man. You cannot shit on DJ. That's it. He's the number one guy. He makes the show. It's the number one show.
Lil Dewey. Dewey.
I can't get enough of this guy.
Right, let's get out of here.
Dan, I got to tell you something, Dan. I just got to let you know something. I was going to let you know off air, but then I was going to let you know on air, but now I'm going to let you know back off air, but I'll do it back
okay.
on air.
Okay. Yeah, what's up?
I'm doing you another favor, okay? Don't worry. I handled it. I got it under control. We're doing big things. Bringing back Calmania. We're going to do a Calmania this year. What do you think? Making it happen.
What? How are we doing Calmania, bro?
I'm doing Calmania. And of course,
in Tampa?
I mean, not in Tampa because
I'm not. I said I'm not
going
to go to Tampa.
Okay. Here's the thing. One place I'm not going during the pandemic is the mainland because of COVID. And if I had to pinpoint like what the capital of the mainland is right now, it's Tampa. That's the most COVID place you could ever. I'm not going to a place with 25,000 Floridians. Okay. I stay on island. That's where I am. I'm done with the mainland. I'm out here.
Okay.
We're going to do a Calmania out here on Oahu in Hawaii, the home of the champ. I am the champion, am I not? So, I mean, I think it's only fitting.
Okay, wait.
Look, after all I've done, I spoke to the commissioner. I spoke to Glenn Stefani, and he's down. I mean, we gotta get a couple other ducks in a row contract-wise. But I spoke to Glenn. We had a great dinner at Buzz's Steakhouse in Kailua the other day. And I was like, Glenn, Bubba, like, what do you think about bringing a little tourism here? Let's make an event, and we'll do it respectfully. We'll do it the right way. And he said, as long as everyone gets tested, screened, follows protocol, quarantines, that he would permit me. It's not set in stone, but he'd permit me to do Calmania 3. I figure we didn't get to do Calmania 2 last year because of COVID. I can't have that happen again to this title, this belt. You know I'm elevating the title. I'm really excited about it. I mean, you know, DJ The Rock regrammed my post. He showed my promo to the world. The Comedians of Wrestling podcast has momentum.
So you can't lose it. Okay. First off, you have to talk to me about this kind of shit. You can't just be hosting a Calmania. Okay. You have the privileges you have of the title. You could be on the podcast anytime. But don't plan a fucking Calmania without talking to us here at the pod.
I thought you'd be happy. I'm doing you a favor. I know you're busy. I don't want you to deal with all the bullshit. Look, by the way.
And it's you in Hawaii? And
how else am I going to plan it? Where am I going to plan this thing? I'm out here.
Let me talk about
the belt is out here.
Dude, this is a little far. This is a little far.
Dan.
You don't just, now you're taking, listen, you're pushing it. I kind of let a lot go for the good of the podcast, okay? Yeah. I'll admit, you are funny on the podcast, okay? I will admit that. This
and
is
I have
a
great
little,
taste.
This might,
I'm
okay.
You funny have, and knowledgeable.
You have some good taste. I'll give you all that.
And I got the podcast to be viewed by 400,000 people through The Rock's Instagram. Is that not true?
That is true. Yes, you did that. This is a little fucked up, man. This is a bridge too far for me.
No,
you're like, you're going to make... To stop acting like this, you're doing me some... Don't be a snake, bro. Don't act like you're doing me some fucking favor that you're going to hold Calmania without me involved. Calmania is also...
Without you involved? I don't want you not involved. I want you out here. We should have our match. We should do our rematch. You deserve a rematch. You're the champ.
You know, you know damn well that I'm not vaccinated. I'm still being. I got a PFT, pulmonary function test this week for my lungs.
You got a Paul F. Tompkins?
No, not a Paul F. Tompkins. It's not funny. A pulmonary function test for my lungs. Check the capacity after post COVID. I can't risk to get one of these variants. I can't get a vaccine. You think I'm gonna fucking come out there to Hawaii
Paul F. Tompkins is very funny. And I think, Dan, look, I know you're getting mad. Maybe I should.
Let's talk about this all fair because now I might cut this out of the pod because you're not having Calmania.
Don't. It's not up to me. We need to have. We can't do 2 years in a row with no Calmania. And by the way, Dan, without consulting you, do you know how many things I've produced without consulting you? I produced the entire Adult Wrestling Fan Special. I produced the entire Calmania one. Obviously, you're involved. Like you sign off on these things. But I'm the guy doing all the legwork. I'm a producer. This is what I do. All you got to do is show up. All you got to do is get on a plane, show up, have a match. You got to do nothing. I made it so you don't have to worry about nothing. We're going to do this thing. We're going to restore the greatness of this title. We're going to restore the greatness of this podcast. We're going to make the Comedians of Wrestling great again. And that starts at Calmania 3.
God.
It's going to be held on my home turf, in my adopted homeland.
I got to go.
Hawaii. I'm the state bird. I'm the state bird of Hawaii, baby. And they love me here.
All
right. And we're doing it.
We'll talk. All right, everyone. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.